But I do be playing Homescapes.
Let me just. Howdy roundabout, all you shaggy goose egg boys, and welcome to Al Pacino's Prison Scene, the podcast where we, three college students who objectively know nothing about anything, talk about movies that objectively mean nothing about anything, and we think about it. Oh, look at that.
I can't get it off. That's how it's gonna be.
Right. That's just how it's
for the episode.
Did you check my levels at any point?
No, I didn't.
You didn't check mine, but I'm sure we'll be okay.
And you know, ironically enough, yours was the only levels I checked.
Okay.
And we didn't pick that up.
Alright. Now that we're, I made them some goody yum yums, so they're eating that. They call me Chef Boyarizzi. Today, what are we doing today, guys?
Narnia.
Chronicles of Narnia. And,
where's my phone?
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The 2005 version, not the older one.
Well, not the older ones.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even realize there was an older one.
Before we get into
this. Because there's an animated one.
Oh, no.
There's a BBC, and there's a BBC one.
Yeah, the live action one is the one that I remember seeing as a kid.
The BBC?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also...
And it's just a man in a giant fucking suit for the beaver.
There's also a book about it.
Mm. All right, so...
After the fact.
I've been keeping this under wraps, but this is the only movie that we have, or maybe the first movie, that we have covered on this podcast that I've been in a way.
What do you mean?
Play.
In high school, I was in the play, Chronicles of Narnia. It wasn't a high school play. It was community theater, so it was real shit. And I was... Well, she was stage manager, but I was Peter. So, yeah.
Freaking sweet.
Fun times. So, yeah, we'll put this up in post, but here's some pictures of me.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's me right there.
Well, I thought you... Oh, oops.
Yeah, this on Snapchat.
I thought you meant, like, you were in the movie.
No, that would have been fucking sweet.
And I was like, as who?
Although I would have been fucking, like, you know, five or something.
Well, that's why I was so confused.
But yeah, that's...
Dang, look at you. You look like you do now, but...
I know, and that's Edmund.
Do you remember your lines? You know, from, like, 7 years ago?
Edmund, you're stupid!
Edmund!
The only thing I remember...
Did you use a British accent?
No. That I'm happy we did it, because... Look at that fucking picture.
Yeah, you look like you're about to cream yourself.
Now, what I would like to see...
Acting.
...is that, but, like, deep southern drawl. I was there when the deep magic was, sighted.
That's Aslan.
Yeah. That's Aslan.
Aslan.
I was there, baby.
Yeah.
When the deep magic was sighted. I have so much to say about this movie, too. More than I thought I was going to.
So...
Let's get right into it, guys. Oh my god, I'm gonna sneeze.
Bless you.
Like it, but it hasn't happened yet.
Hold on. So, before we get into this podcast, you know how it goes, boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. I finally got a laptop.
Is
that a new laptop?
No, but
it's new to
everybody else already has it. Always.
Please.
Has it, I never do.
Just like, comment, and subscribe.
Please.
Just, you know, I don't even. Anyway.
Yeah, what the fuck's your problem?
Or more so...
You're like the witch in this movie.
More
just
so.
Fucking subscribe, or I'll turn you into a goddamn stone, and this yelling hurts my back.
If you are watching this, we
I
thank you.
Out today.
That's actually pretty good.
I know.
I didn't, and you know why?
Because we didn't invite him.
look what I do for them, and in turn, they don't even invite me to things.
Thank you for the food.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're very kind.
You're welcome for having you on the podcast as well.
Oh, no, I am the podcast at this point. I am the science.
Fauci. Anyway.
more so, if you are watching this, we thank you, because you probably watched all the other stuff. We thank you immensely. What you could do that will help us more is share it. You know, to your grandpa, to your grandma, you know, to your...
Any Christian
maybe younger
you know.
People.
Yeah.
Any yeah, Christian yeah. you know.
This episode.
Also atheists.
Yes.
Like Louis C.K. himself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I thought he was Christian.
Your mom did.
Well, also it's C.S. Lewis. Louis C.K. is the...
Yeah.
Oh.
Is the comedian.
Yeah, no, just share it to whoever. Put it on, you know, Snapchat story, Instagram story, just wherever. Text it to somebody. Say, hey, you know, if you like this movie, maybe you like to hear these guys talk about it for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, that would help us the most. Thank you for your continued support.
Yes. This program was brought to you by...
Squarespace.
All right, so
beautiful platform for
this was brought to us by our dear friend Elias Garcia, who, for those of you who have seen it, oh my back.
Jake did go to the gym with us a few days ago.
Well, a while ago. This was back in.
Oh yeah,
this back in February.
Yeah, months ago.
I mean January.
January.
This is February right now.
Right.
And my back still hurts. that poster. He provided us with the Arthur poster, also as well as the TV in our living room. So,
wow.
So
and he's a regular donator.
Yeah, he is. He is. So thank you for that. Be like Elias.
Yeah, donate stuff.
But subject is The Chronicles of Narnia. And then in the body, it's like the text is bigger. It says Chronicles of Narnia, and then it gets normal, and it says, "Do it or I'll kill you." Sent from my iPhone. So here we are. Doing it.
Such a relief at this point.
Did he actually type it from my iPhone, or was it actually sent from his iPhone?
No. Well, actually... Because
that would be funny.
I actually don't know.
The other way, yeah.
I'm assuming that he sent it from his Android phone.
Did you
amazing
just
he hasn't killed us yet.
That?
Yeah.
See, that's why my email is all backed up, because I don't have the cold heart that you have. I'm sent
Why would I keep that?
Because now it's gone forever.
No, it's not.
What if that guy dies, and that's all you had to remember him by?
Look,
well,
look.
At least
hey,
we know
hey,
he didn't
watch
kill
this.
Us.
Watch this, Chris.
It's in front of my iPhone.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Look, there it is.
In his trash. All right, this is boring. I don't care anymore. All right, continue.
Okay. There's no Wikipedia for this movie, so we're going in raw. There isn't. It's just the. I mean, yeah. Try and find it.
Well, there's, yeah. It's because we don't believe you.
Not there's not a plot tab for the movie. Holy fucking shit. Alright, well.
What do you mean?
I tried looking for it. I guess I didn't look at the right thing. Hold on.
I don't know how you missed that.
What did you type?
I looked up Lion, Witch, Wardrobe.
Yeah, look at this.
Oh, I looked up...
You looked
sorry.
Up film series.
I looked up Chronicles of Narnia, because that's just all I think of when I think of this movie. It's just not the Lion, the Witch, and the... Who the fuck, you know?
Yeah, I literally didn't even look... I looked up Lion, Witch, Wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the title of this episode. It's Chronicles of Narnia, colon, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, dash, The Lion, Witch, Wardrobe.
Yeah. I actually wrote
yeah, right there.
80 pages of a book back in high school. I didn't finish it, but it was called The Chronicles of Luke.
Was it a fanfic about Star Wars?
Nope.
It was a fan. It was a fusion between Narnia and the Bible.
Which is already a fusion
yeah.
of the Bible.
Which yeah. actually, we had this great idea today, like this morning. Mm-hmm. Back in January.
Yeah, way back when.
That C.S. Lewis wrote this book, went back in time, and based the Bible off of this book series.
That's a great one. Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah.
So, anyways. Right. Chris, go ahead.
Christopher.
All right.
Nolan.
So,
that one's for you, Burkhead.
The country of Britain is being torn apart by a world war. It fucking sucks. It's World War II. And so, because of that, siblings Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy have to take a train to the home of this dude named Professor Kirk. But not related to Captain Kirk. Haha, funny joke. So, they stay at his mansion. And, you know, they're bored, there's not much to do, and so, you know, they try to pass the time by playing hide-and-seek. And little Lucy, who's the youngest of the siblings, decides to hide in a wardrobe. And she goes into the wardrobe, and she goes to the back of the wardrobe, and she falls right in a pile of snow. And she's like, what? This ain't wardrobe. This is Christmas land. But there's not Christmas. It's just cold and winter and bad things all the time. Because she is told that stuff by a goat man named Tumnus, who is played by James McAvoy, also Split. Is that how you say his name?
No.
James McAvoy.
James McAvoy?
Yes.
Yes.
But there's not a Mac, it's just an MC.
Anyway. Yeah, well, he's also British, so he's stupid.
Okay.
Love you. Love you, Jimmy.
Shout out to our boy James McAvoy.
So
McCowboy.
McCowboy.
So
hey,
James,
there, little lady.
So James MC Cowboy essentially kidnaps Lucy into his little home and gives her tea and tells her about how, you know, this place is called Narnia and it's only been winter and there's no Christmas and everybody's kind of sad. And she's like, no, Quibba, what that boy? And then he's like, yeah. And so he plays a flute and a bunch of, you know, dudes on horses and a fire dance around and she gets sleepy. And then he's like, oh no, I actually am, like, you know, kidnapping this girl and sedating her. That's bad. And he, like, you know, stops. And she wakes up, and she's like, what? And Tumnus is like, hey, I'm not actually your friend. I am kidnapping you because the White Witch told me to. And she's like, who's the White Witch? And he's like, I said too much. You need to leave. You need to leave right now.
Get out!
And so...
Get to the chopper! Get to the wardrobe!
Tumnus apologizes, and he tries to get her away. And he does say, the White Witch says that... one day there will be someone who would, like, there would be like a human child that would fall out, and just whoever it is, you need to take him and bring him to the White Witch.
And a child of Adam, and
yes.
Or a son of Adam, two sons of Adam's, two daughters of Eve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very, very biblical for an atheist.
Whoa.
So,
that's not true.
Okay, well, anyway, he
you're wrong.
He pushes her back out of the wardrobe. And the siblings, which she thinks she's been there for hours, because feel like she's been there for hours, because she has been there for hours. But to the siblings, she's only been gone for a few minutes. So it's established that you know, time in Narnia passes a lot longer than time in the real world. So later, Lucy goes back into the wardrobe, sneaks back in when everybody's asleep. And then Edmund, you know, kind of snooping around because he's a little snake of a child. He follows her in there. What?
I didn't say anything.
Okay, follows her in there, and he kind of, you know, explores around and shit. And he meets the White Witch. What?
Sorry, I'm reading one of my notes that. Well, anyways, we'll come back.
Who's played by? What's her name?
James McAvoy. Oh, Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton, yeah. Yeah, he meets the White Witch, who's played by Tilda Swinton.
Dr. Strange.
And she tells him that she is the Queen of Narnia. And Edmund just, you know, likes her company, likes that he's, like, you know, being greeted by a hot, gender-bent Santa Claus in a sleigh, and she's, like, giving him candy.
No,
all
that's
this
later.
Oh, yeah. Is that later?
No.
You
said Santa Claus, and so he said that's later.
Okay, well, anyway. Oh, fuck you. yeah, she gives him candy and shit, and then he, you know, just spouts on about his siblings and all that. And then she leaves, and then he meets Lucy again, and Lucy runs out and tells Peter and Susan, and they come in, and then... And they're like, oh, well, you know, we're sorry that we didn't believe you, but now we believe you because this shit is fucking real. And so they meet beavers, and they say that Aslan plans to return and regain control of Narnia. And that there is a prophecy that says if two sons of Adam and two daughters of Eve sit on the thrones of Cherubim, is that how you say it?
Sure.
Yeah. The witch's reign will end.
Where is that? Where's Parable?
It's right there.
The two daughters of Eve.
Yeah.
It's Cherubim.
Beavers tell them of the prophecy that a big lion dude will return if four human bitches regain the throne of Narnia.
Cherubim.
Yes. And so after hearing this, Edmund, sneaks over to the witch and tries to get her to, do shit. And then she's mad because he's the only one there, and she, imprisons him and then sends her goons out to find the rest of the bitches. And,
yeah.
Sorry.
Wait, where are you at?
And so...
Are you looking at it too?
Edmund is gone. And the rest of the children are trotting off with the beavers to try and, find Aslan's camp. And the witch is now showing her true colors to Edmund, and she is evil.
Which is white, because
she's a white witch. And
that's why she's evil.
And she sends her yep. goons over to capture the children. And the children, in the meantime, meet Santa Claus, Father Christmas, who brings them a bunch of presents, and that's their, signature weapons and shit. And Susan gets a bow and arrow, and Peter gets a shield and a sword, and what does Lucy get? I forget.
She gets a dagger and a potion thing that one drop of it, brings somebody from the brink of death back to life.
Yes, yes. And, and so they get all the presents, and they're trotting back on again, and all of a sudden, they're invaded by some wolves from the White Witch.
Mogrim.
And I'm trying to remember exactly what happens.
Well they're just, on the bridge, or not the bridge, but the ice. The ice is freezing faster than it's melting!
Yeah, Polar Express styles.
They're talking, and Peter has a sword, and Mogrim is like, "You gotta be a big now, boy." Yeah. And then
I remember
it's melting,
doing that scene in the play.
And the beaver, Mrs. Beaver is like, "Ah!" And then Mr. Beaver's like getting his neck chomped by a different wolf. And he's like, "Just do it, Peter!
Just do it anyway."
And then Peter's like, looks at the waterfall and is like, "Gah!" And then stabs the ice, and then he goes, and they go, and then they kind of float away.
Yep. Yep.
And then they get to the camp.
Yeah, they get to the camp. And the White Witch journeys to Aslan's camp to claim Edmund, and she's like, "Hey, Edmund's a traitor, Aslan." By the way, Aslan shows up. He's a lion. He's played by Liam Neeson, so he's actually Lion Neeson. So White Witch tells Lion Neeson, "Hey, Edmund is a traitor because they found Edmund because Edmund escaped." And she's like, "By Narnia law, all traitors belong to me." And so Lion Neeson is like, "Okay, come and talk with me real quick. We'll see if we can figure this out." And so they go into a tent, they hash it out, and then she comes out, and she is like, Lion Neeson is like, "The boy has been spared. She will not claim his blood." And then she is like, "How do I know you keep your word?" And then Lion Neeson roars, and everybody cheers, and then he gets sad and walks away.
Well, it's because she, he roars, and she's like, "Ah, kind of."
And so later on, Lion Neeson, while the whole camp and all the children are asleep, he walks off sadly into the wilderness, and Susan and Lucy follow him because they sense that something bad's going on, and something bad real is going on, because it turns out that Lion Neeson offered up his life to save Edmund's, very Jesus style. And so there's a whole ritual sacrifice on a stone table, and she kill him and strips his mane
$10.
And all that. All
right, he goes, "Do not cite the deep magic to me, witch. I was there when it was written."
Yes.
Yeah, that was way earlier, but
yeah,
he does.
But, and I'll get to this in a second.
All right.
The deeper magic is literally what it's called.
Yeah. Anyway, White Witch kills him, strips his mane, and now they got the power and shit, and they're going to wage war with the rest of Narnia. And Lucy and Susan are sad about what?
Because Aslan dies?
Well, after Aslan dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
no, they're sad before.
No. Oh, yeah, they're sad because Aslan is dead, yes. And Lucy and Susan, you know, mourn, and they walk away, and then all of a sudden... And they turn around, table's broken, Aslan is gone, but Aslan is not gone because he is now reborn as the same lion as he was before, but shinier. And
now he's got the sun perpetually behind him.
Yes, all the time.
S-O-N or S-U-N?
So they join Aslan and they Mufasa over to the
White Witch Palace.
Because yeah. Aslan can come back because there's the deeper magic, which was a hidden law that the Emperor before time wrote that said basically if an innocent takes the place of a traitor on the stone table, then the magic will be reversed. And then death itself will be reversed and the stone table will be cracked. Mm-hmm. That's why that happens.
And so Aslan heads over to the White Witch's castle.
Yes. Where they free all the prisoners. And in the midst of that, Edmund get hurt real bad and he kind of dies. And then, you know, the army arrives and, you know, they war and shit. And then Aslan eventually kills the witch, which is cool. And Lucy uses the little potion to heal Edmund. And then...
all the other people who fell, too, yeah.
Yeah, and then episode 4, New Hope style, they all get crowned the king and queen for saving Narnia. And they grow old, and well, older. They spend. Aslan leaves, and they don't know when he's going to return. But they just kind of, you know, live fulfilled lives as kings and queens of Narnia, and they, you know, frolic and hunt as siblings, and they're older, and it's cool and shit, and they as they're like hunting. Way later on, they find the light post that they saw way back when they first came into Narnia, and they're like, that looks familiar. And they keep walking into the woods, and they find coats and shit, and they're like, this seems even more familiar. And then they fall out of the wardrobe, and they are back to being children again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's just, it's the next day from, like, when they disappeared into Narnia. So... yeah. I would imagine that would fuck you up more than it did them.
No, it was like literally the exact same time that they disappeared.
Yeah.
Remember when they were going in, the door handle was about to be turned, and then when they come back, the door is open.
Okay, that doesn't make sense, like, how time works then.
Yeah.
The longer you stay in there, the less time is happening outside?
No, it's just like it's just like whatever works.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
It's magic.
Yeah. Fair enough. So the professor of the place is like, hey, what you guys doing? And we're like, you won't believe us if we told you. And then he's like,
try me,
because he has been in there because he's the magician's nephew, which is another book. It's a prequel. The end.
Yes. So yes. So this. Chronicles of Narnia actually has some really pretty interesting lore that unfortunately is not touched upon a whole lot. That's actually also not the end of the movie. Because there's a post-credit scene. There's a mid-credit scene. Mm-hmm. Did you not see that?
Where it opens and like... and
yeah, well, Aslan. Yeah, but she could... So Lucy tries to go in there, and the professor is just kind of in there, like, looking out the window. And he's like, I've tried as well. I've never been able to go back, but it comes when you least expect it. Mm-hmm. Which is how Prince Caspian kind of starts is like, so there is the beginning, or I think maybe near the end of the Telmarine conquest, when Caspian, the people of his people, kind of come and take over and kind of drive out all the creatures of
all
Narnia.
The Narnians, yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when they get back, but they are discussing how it sucks that it's been a year and they haven't been able to go back. And then some magic shit happens and they're back.
Yeah. Same thing in Dawn Treader as well.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I've seen all three, but I don't remember any of the second one. So when they go back, they don't go back to the age they were when they, like, left.
Correct. Correct. Okay. Yeah. And it's like 1,300 years later.
Yeah. Jesus. So, yeah. Holy well, shit. No, yeah. It's, and, basically, all the magical creatures are left. There's a few left. Because the first thing they run into is a bear. They mm-hmm. can't speak.
Mm-hmm. So all the characters from the first one are, like, dead?
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, boys, what the fuck is this movie about?
So, this is a... We actually talked about this earlier as well today. It's obviously... I don't know if allegory is the right term. Metaphor. Representation of the story of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least this film is.
Yeah, right.
That's what I was least. Going to say, too. I mean, yeah, the White Witch being Satan and Aslan, you know,
mm-hmm.
being Jeebus.
But I also think there is a level of the power of imagination, at least somewhat woven into this. Because you were saying, like, the magic, well, it's magic, so whatever needs to work, works. But I also think it kind of comes to them, like, when it's needed.
Yeah.
It's
like in Hogwarts.
Yes. And the Sword of Slytherin.
Yeah. Wait, that one.
There's a Sword of Slytherin? There's a Sword of...
Sword of Slytherin? I'm Sword of Slytherin.
There's a Sword of Gryffindor.
No,
why do wizards use swords? They should use swords.
Well, in the book, when Dumbledore fights Voldemort, they fight with shields and what wands. Yeah. It's weird.
Voldemort with a shield?
Yeah, it's weird, man. All right, anyways, that's...
And I picked up on this, I think. I was thinking about this and just the idea of trauma and a safe space, you know, for the children to escape to. Just because, you know, they're in, like, war times and they're in this big house and the MacReady, as they call her, kind of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a witch.
Hey.
And, a white bitch.
Yeah. And Narnia kind of provides that space of processing, I think, would be a good word to use there. And specifically the idea of Santa. Because Mr. Tumnus, Lucy says, like, do you know about Christmas? I love Christmas. And Mr. Tumnus is like, no, I can only read minds.
Yeah, because he's Charles Xavier. Yeah.
But he doesn't know what that is. And later in the film, Father Christmas shows
gives
up.
Gives him some money.
But it's interesting, though, because the beavers do know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically. So I think there is a level of, like, whatever it needs to be, it is.
Well, it's because Mr. Tumnus, like, his father fought in the war, right?
Mm.
And kind of his character thing is the idea that, like, he was too weak to do so, and so he doesn't have this, like, belief. Like, the beavers, they're ready to fight and keep it secret, you know? So it makes sense that they remember, like, you know, Christmas of old and stuff.
Mm.
'Cause I can't remember how long the White Witch has reigned, but it was, like, 100 years or something like that.
Long enough.
Yeah.
Claire was telling me, because she's read all the books, and she wanted to be here.
Yeah, she would.
Be. Okay. She told me that the White Witch is from a different world. There are, like, tons of different worlds other than Narnia and Narnia lore.
Right, yeah. I kind of wish I had read these books growing up, because there is a lot of, like, lore. You know, I was, like, looking it up after I was watching the first movie, and I went and watched the second and third ones as well, just out of my own curiosity. I really wish that they had finished that series of films. Like, I know they didn't critically do that well, But I liked it.
But this film, this film, finish what you're saying. Yeah, what you're saying.
But I mean, anywho, like there is a lot of like this lore and stuff in there that does build out this world. But I know like the what was it, Tamnarins or whatever, the human people that are in Narnia in like the second movie, there are no humans in it originally in Narnia, right? And then when they show up, they're supposed to be like descendants of pirates who like came over from essentially Britain. And it's just kind of interesting how the worlds are connected. But going off of like what I think this movie is about, what I think is interesting is that, yes, this is pretty clearly like supposed to be a representation of, you know, the Christ story, right? But I think there's also this what's it called?
Say it again?
No, I completely lost my train of thought.
Well, what were you saying before?
I was saying that it's a representation of the Christ story, but there's something else. Hold on, let me pull out my notes. I have not slept in 3 years.
While you're looking at that, so this movie, so this is 2005, which it looks great for being 2005.
Yeah.
But this movie, I think, encapsulates the sort of feeling that the first two Harry Potters also encapsulated. There is this sort of, and C.S. Lewis wrote this for children, but it is this sort of innocent and childlike fantasy. There is this, it feels good. In the same way I was talking to you about this earlier, but how the Lego Harry Potter games kind of just capture this free and young like spirit, this feeling.
Yeah.
And I think that Lion, Witch, Wardrobe specifically does that. And I think that's why...
Yeah. Well, certainly the film does present that.
Right.
Because it's all pretty much always bright unless you're at the witch's place and the way it's done. What I remember what I was going to say. It's this whole thing is like a little mini apocalypse. And I think what's interesting is that, as far as I can tell from the three movies that I've seen, that they all look as though... First of all, the reason that Peter and Susan don't come back in the third one is because it's like Aslan says that they can't learn anything from this. So that means, okay, the reason you're going to Narnia, yes, is to help these people, but it's also to learn something about yourself or about the world, something like that. And I think it's this idea that like Narnia is there to teach us so that we can bring that lesson back into the real world. Because I don't think Narnia actually exists. I think it's this like almost like collective dream where it's like all these mythic images and representations of these ideas that are on Earth come to life in Narnia, right? That's why Aslan is, you know, he's the Jesus figure, and there is a God figure that's referred to. Jake was talking about it with the person who wrote the Stone Law, you know, which is essentially
the Ten Commandments,
right? That's why when Aslan dies, it's broken in half because there's a new law that presents itself now. And I just think that's really interesting. It's like all of these ideas are taken into this area, and then these children are able to learn from that and grow from that and become better people and bring that out into the world in a time that it needs it as well, you know, during, you know, the Second World War. So, but yeah, that's what I think that's kind of about. But
so yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Chris?
I was just reading up on there was going to be a movie on the Silver Chair.
Oh, yeah?
And it was, like, tossed around for years, and then eventually Netflix made a contract with C.S. Lewis Company, and all plans for the Silver Chair movie were just... they were going to make, like, a bunch of, like, just totally redo the movies and make, like, TV series out of it. And that's been, like, you know, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't said fucking anything about it since.
Yeah. Well, there is a...
Dawn Treader came out in, like, 2010, so all those actors had to be replaced.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... Actually, I think in The Silver Chair, I think it's just the cousin that comes back. I don't think any of the main...
Eustace?
Yeah, I don't think any of the four kids
Will
come
Poulter.
Back in that one. Yeah,
look at him now. He's a Adam,
yeah,
or whatever. But there is a Silver Chair BBC that was part of the TV.
Well, it was they like started writing it, started working on it in 2011, and it was supposed to be out by like 2013 or 2014. And then it got postponed, and then 2017, it's like, okay, yeah, we got the script and we got the director. Next, in the very next year, Netflix shut them down
and did nothing with it.
So yeah,
that's
so lucky. What do I think this movie's about? Jeebus.
Big
Jeebus. Big T.T.
But what's weird is...
Lion.
Oh.
Kitty.
What?
Cat.
Oh, you said kitty.
Yeah, what'd you
say? I thought you said titty.
No.
That was...
There are no big titties.
No, there's not.
What's funny is that on the Wikipedia page it says, the major theme in here is Christianity. And I'm like, that's not a theme.
Well, yeah, it's more of an influence.
Right, yeah. But I don't know. But,
so, one of the interesting things, too, that I think kind of hints at this idea of imagination and kind of, like, the healing power of it, is that Diggory Kirk, who's the professor, confronts Susan and... Susan and Peter about...
What are you doing? I was going to rub your back and make you feel better, but then you sat back on it, and now my hand is crushed.
Thank you. Now it's crushed. Yeah. But this is after Lucy has gone the second time, and Edmund has been like, oh, she's playing around with her. Runs off crying and runs into him and, like, hugs her and then, you know, whatever. But,
whatever, you know.
Susan is like, that's crazy. Logically, it's impossible. And the professor's like, so you don't believe her? And then they're like, no! And then he's like, what are they teaching you in school these days? Implying that...
Common Core sucks.
Yeah. And imagination rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There's that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a...
And that you should never come out of the closet. All right, we'll bleep that out. That wasn't good.
Good wardrobe. You should stay in Narnia.
Yeah,
what he's saying.
I think the point that the professor is making there is that you have to have, you know, some sort of belief, and he's like, why is it that the schools aren't teaching you to believe something that seems untrue, which, you know, I guess is like a thematic element of the movie. But... Yeah. I think it's neat that they get those weapons after it's said that they're bringing hope back to Narnia.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, you bring hope to oppressed people, and suddenly, you know, you are the weapon. You know, you are the weapon of liberators, of freedom. And,
yeah.
And I thought that was pretty neat. I thought it was neat going back to what I was talking about in Book of Eli with archery and like how sin is to miss. And he says, the Father Christmas says, you know, he gives Susan the bow, and he's like, you have to believe, and if you believe in the bow, then you won't miss. And I thought that's kind of interesting because, you know, like I said before, to sin in archery is to miss the mark, right? And so it's like, if you believe in your own ability, you know, to do the right thing, to aim it at the right place, maybe more importantly than to aim your weapon at the right place, then, you know, maybe you can't sin, you know? So I just thought that was kind of interesting. Those are little things.
Well, but I think you're missing a little something important there. So when they're at the range the first time to get in practice or whatever, Susan shoots.
Oh yeah.
And she doesn't miss.
But it's not perfect.
Right, it's not perfect. And then Lucy pulls out her dagger and throws it bullseye.
Because she believes.
Well, yeah. she believe, but this idea, too, of missing his sin. Lucy, not only does she believe, but she believes so wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Without the skepticism that Susan has.
Well, she's definitely the most pure because she's the youngest, and I think that there's a lot to say there, especially with the opening scene where she meets Tumnus and then wholeheartedly believes him. And the fact that she does believe him is what brings him to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that if any other of the siblings came into Narnia first, it probably wouldn't have ended the way it did.
Right. Yeah, and that's that's kind of interesting. For one, I always thought it was weird that they grew up and then they go back to their like regular bodies. Cause, and it's weird because in the Voyage of the Dawn Treader movie, Lucy has like this whole subplot about like she's like she's starting to become a woman, you know, and she's like noticing, oh, I have these feelings, you know, that kind of thing. But it's weird because you grew up well into your 20s at the very least,
yeah,
and you never had any of those feelings, and you got put right back into a prepubescent body.
But
that's kind of weird, man.
Well, I mean,
magic.
Maybe in Narnia, because I mean,
I'm sure they fuck in Narnia.
Well,
I don't know if they do.
If Narnia is supposed to be like some form of heaven, then
no,
I mean, I'm,
it's not heaven.
Well, it's not. I don't know,
because heaven is Aslan's country. Yeah, yeah, that's like across the sea,
which is where they go at the end of Dawn Treader.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, to be fair, I didn't finish that one. I was right in the middle of the climax when work was over.
It's similar to,
you know.
Hashtag dash. It's similar to that at the end of Lord of the Rings, where Frodo goes to just the elf country or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that. But also, and I just forgot what I was going to say. It has to do with Diggory.
Cedric?
Well, it's like a divine utopia.
Well, no, Narnia is just this, how I understand it is that Narnia is this battleground for these mythic images to come to life and interplay in a way that informs what is happening in the world, both in the past and in the present, right? Because that's why it's an apocalypse. It's literally like the revelation of John, in the sense that it's like John was like, hey, this is happening in the Roman Empire, and this has happened before and many other times before, and it's going to happen again, and I'm going to describe what is happening, what will always happen in terms of these mythic characters, right? In terms of these grand images, and that's what's happening in Narnia.
So, yes, fantasy, so this movie gets a bit meta, I think, just in its presentation. So fantasy...
It's on Facebook.
Yes.
It is Facebook.
Yeah. If you rearrange the letters in Narnia...
You get
Facebook. But a fantasy is often used, at least the genre, is often used to present these more complex and more difficult ideas and present it in a way that is easier to swallow, easier to chew, more grounded in a way that children specifically, but also anybody can kind of grasp and understand. And so if we follow the same thought of these films as Narnia is a way for these children, these people to cope and kind of cope with what's happening, but also learn how to deal with what's happening in their world, it's kind of meta that the fantasy genre would present that, but also specifically this world would present that as well.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I got what you're saying. I'll take the rest, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I can take the rest of it.
But also, so I'm looking at this, and it seems like... So Diggory, I believe, is the magician's nephew. I could be wrong. But he is the first one to go to Narnia. And in Narnia... he is given a fruit that will basically heal his mom or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes there with Jadis, who is the White Witch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so,
was she a human? Was she from Earth? Or?
It seems like she is. But she also ate the fruit,
mm-hmm.
which is why she lived so long. So maybe it is. So maybe Narnia is just like an earlier version of the the Garden of Eden, like, but later, because they're referred to as children of Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and so the reason that Jadis was able to take over is because the land was corrupted by them eating the fruit.
Yes, but that, it's not, you're missing the point. It's not that it's earlier or after, or that it's taking place simultaneously. The point is that it's its own universe that uses these grand images and this imagery to express what is happening on Earth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just just that parallel,
right?
Is what
right.
I'm speaking of. Yeah.
Yeah.
But more so that, like, in the same way that, you know, the garden was destroyed, or however you want to put it, they were kicked out. That is also how it happens here.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way that the earth, the Garden of Eden, had corruption seeded into it, the same way that Narnia did.
Right, right. which is interesting. But I also think it's interesting Aslan frees those who are damned by the witch, who are essentially like the martyrs, by breathing on them, right? It's like the breath of life.
Yeah.
That kind of imagery.
Oh, look. No stone, no mole.
No
arrow,
stone, no mole.
Breath of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wrote, see?
That was smart. When they're running through the tunnels out of the beaver's house, that reminded me of how, like, early Christians, how they would used to meet. They used to have, like, this tunnel system and stuff like that in some places because, you know, it was outlawed. I thought that was interesting, just, like, the imagery of it. But, I mean, there are, like, many times that people have had, like, a tunnel system to, you know, for some sort of belief or whatever.
Well, on the other end of that, too, is a fox, which are mischievous creatures,
right,
tricky creatures. But the fox, so the beavers actually call him a traitor, but we never see that. So I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what happened with that, but we always see his devotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. He even turned into stone. He's like,
it seemed like he was like a double agent or something like that.
But point being, in that is that, you know, even the most mischievous of creatures, when in the service of such a awesome lion.
Yeah, even they bow
down.
Yeah. Right, yeah. What time are we at?
47.
Okay. Also, this thing I looked up is actually kind of interesting. The name Narnia actually comes from a small town in Italy called Narni.
Narni.
And it's in like Umbria, which I don't know if that's like a province or something. But it's halfway between Rome and Assisi. But essentially, if you take Narni and then put it in Italian or Latin, it's Narnia.
If you put Narni in italics, it becomes Narnia.
Exactly. But yeah, so I just thought that was kind of interesting that he Lewis didn't have a reason for it. He was just like, I just like the name of it.
It's like, yeah, really?
Found it on a globe, and he was like, that's pretty cool.
I thought that it was, like, derived from Nirvana in a way.
Mm-hmm. No, he just liked the name of it. Mm. So.
And I like the name Aslan.
Yeah.
And here we are. The guidepost, the light post, is the first thing that they see.
Yes.
Which is also the last thing they see.
Mm.
Which is interesting, I think, because I think that symbolizes the
eternal flame.
Yeah, the eternal flame. But it symbolizes, at least from what I can gather, basically the entrance into this symbolic world.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this grounding between the two.
Mm.
So if you see it, well, you know that you're going either in or out. And it's not difficult to navigate through. It's very clear in its position.
Yeah, it's some sort of just like beacon of a sort. I don't know, like, if it has like a one-to-one parallel to something, you know, because I was thinking about that a lot and I couldn't quite wrap my mind around it. But it is, like you said, it's the meeting of the two. It's the only thing that looks like, you know, British architecture in the entirety of the world, you know, at that point. Like I said, I think it's just sort of just a beacon. It's the best that I could really come up with.
So do y'all have any more?
Yes, I actually have something very important to talk about. Edmund is the most relatable character in the entirety of the series. And specifically, he's relatable not because, like, I'm like, oh, I see myself in him or anything, because he's kind of annoying in this movie. But he's relatable because he is the only one, really, that makes a big mistake. And he's the only one, really, that is fooled by something malevolent.
Well, and that mistake being that he likes Turkish Delight.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's short-sighted, he's temperamental, he's angry at those who are older and, let's say, better than him. He has this huge chip on his shoulder, and because of that, he's able to be twisted against his own better judgment. And that I think, is the most relatable thing out of any of these kids. Because, I mean, everybody's been Edmund at some point, you know.
Yeah, and his first interaction is with the White Witch, but here the Queen of Narnia,
right,
which is a much more gentler title than the White Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but she is the only one who treats him with any kind of kindness. She's like, oh, hey, what's up? Let me use my magic. And
well, the only one whose respect he's wanting. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But everybody else is like, Edmund, you're stupid! And she's like, hot chocolate? Mm-hmm. And Narbrick is like, he goes, you'll drink fire! Mm-hmm. And then he goes, your food, fire.
He does do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Turkish Delight is not that great. It's not that delightful.
Yeah.
We had
Turkish.
We had actual Turkish Delight on the in the play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you have to eat it every time?
Well, no, Edmund did. But I did try some. It wasn't that great.
You said, ugh. Yeah. And they were like, why are you in the scene?
Why are you on stage? Yeah, right, I was now? On stage in the middle of the show. I'm like, yeah, just wanted to try it.
But he also gets manipulated heavily, too, mm-hmm. Which sucks for him. But I think that that manipulation allowed him to kind of come into his self and create his own beliefs and do something independent too, because he is a middle child. There's four of them, so there's not really a defined middle.
Yeah.
But Susan and Edmund are definitely the middle children, and a lot of times not only are middle children overshadowed by the elders, but undermined by the younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think going off on his own allowed him to make his own mistake,
yeah,
and face the consequences, and then come to the realization, oh shit, maybe I shouldn't do this, instead of Peter being like, you're stupid, or Lucy being like,
hey man, you hurt me.
Yeah,
but it allowed him
I would say himself. That Edmund and Lucy are the more interesting characters, because in comparison, Susan and Peter are just kind of bland, in the sense that there's not really much that really changes with them, and they're almost immediately put up on a pedestal. And that may be because they're already, you know, older and more enlightened already. But I don't know. I mean, they're still kids. I feel like it would have been more interesting to see, you know, Peter deal with more temptation, because he would be the more powerful of the four, he or Susan both, because they're older.
He does go through more in the second one, physically, but
okay. I don't really remember much of the second one, but
it would have been cool if he fell the hardest.
I think that
would have been the most interesting, because so his title is Peter the Magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Is his title. Mm-hmm. At the end.
Well, in the second one, they do an assault on a castle and they lose. And it was his call on that.
Yeah.
And his whole, you know, he questions himself. He's questioned by everybody else, specifically Prince Caspian. So he does go through it more so and then. But I do agree. I wish that they had all been kind of tested a little bit harder. And maybe they were in the book, you know, and maybe there just wasn't enough time to fully flesh it out, because maybe they realized they were like, pretty much Lucy is it why everybody's the surrogate for everybody, and so they wanted to focus more on her.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I think that's kind of true all around. You know, it's like Narnia is just this ground for you to learn and learn about yourself and how to conduct yourself in the world. And that's what it is. And so that's why you're able to leave and come back as soon as you were gone. It's a revelation, you know, that you have about yourself, about how you act, about how you should act. And you bring that out into the world, and maybe then you can make the world a more redeemable place. Because think about it, if everybody went to their own Narnia and everybody, you know, managed to defeat the White Witch and they brought that knowledge with them back into the world, where would the problems be?
That's probably what the metaverse is going to be.
That is.
That's what it could be.
The Narnia.
That's not what it's going to be.
The Narniaverse.
So this is basically just Infinity Drain.
Essentially, yes. It's a playground for you to understand how to be a good person. And then once you've learned what you need to learn, you're cast out and you can't come back until you need it.
Until you need it.
That is Infinity Drain. Holy shit.
Yeah. That is Narnia.
Or Infinity Train is Narnia.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Infinity
yeah,
Narnia.
But that's what Infinity Train...
Narnia Train.
Narnia Train.
Personally...
Narnfinity Trainia.
I think Narnia. Infinity Train is better, but that's just me. I haven't finished season 4, though.
Yeah. Wait, so did you say Netflix really is going to be making a series of this?
They signed the contract in 2018, and since 2020, the main guy who did the... who produced the first few movies, who was going to produce the series with them, had not heard anything since 2020. He has not heard anything.
That could be because of the pandemic. But
I mean, yeah, but, you know.
I hope they make it, because I think this would be good, yeah. like a little six-part for each book, yeah. you know?
I mean, episodes. At the very least, hit The Magician's Nephew, because that's the prequel. Right. And that's kind of how the events of Lion, Witch, Wardrobe happened.
Yeah. Well, see, and I would be fine with them just doing the series in the publication order as well. Because I think, again, like, I just want to see the whole thing, because I know I'm not going to read it.
I'm afraid that they're going to freeform it.
Oh, I hope not.
Like, the channel freeform?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've done that with a lot of things, like the Wix Chronicles. You remember the Wix? Mm. You remember Wix?
I know the Spiderwick Chronicles.
Okay, well, it was more of like a girl show, but...
I love it.
And Claire watched it when she was
right.
But they straight up like TVMA, a bunch of sex scenes and shit. Essentially, what they did with Titans.
Titans has sex scenes?
Wix. What?
I gotta check that out.
No,
they're not good. It's very much Freeform and CW are the same thing in my opinion.
Wait, what is the show?
They just teen drama. That
what
shit.
Is this show? Wix show? How do I look at this?
It's Monster High, that Barbie show. You remember?
It's kind of like Monster High. Wix was like a, it was like Power Rangers, but they were fairies instead. Winx Club. Yeah, the Winx Saga.
The Winx Saga.
Yeah, okay. Winx Club. Yeah.
Ew.
This already looks bad.
Oh yeah, it's
wait.
Funny.
How do they
it's,
have sex scenes?
It's terrible. Well,
there's no way they.
Well, it's
have
like
sex
it's like how
I think it's
Archie.
TVMA.
What's that show called?
TVMA.
Riverdale.
Take
out Riverdale.
Riverdale.
They're like 15-year-olds, and every episode has.
My
sex
point
scene.
Is, I think they're going to like teen drama Narnia.
I hope not.
I hope not.
Because it's a fantasy. Right.
Yeah. It's a fantasy series. That's like being like the fucking HBO, like Lord of the Rings, being like, yeah, we're going to put sex scenes in. And it's like, you don't need sex scenes. Oh, that reminds me. C.S. Lewis and Tolkien went to the same university.
Yeah. Were they not like good
when
friends?
They were, yeah. And when they were writing this, apparently Tolkien didn't like Narnia, but
yeah. Well, he fucking wrote The Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
so you know.
He's, yeah, you know, fair enough. Fair
like, C.S. Lewis was making kids' books, and he was making fucking, like, history books.
But there's, you know, there's a place for both of those.
Exactly. And the place for the first is on this podcast.
Yep.
Because we're not going to do Lord of the Rings.
That's right.
They're too long.
And, yeah, Chris would kill himself if he had to recap it.
We could have Claire on instead.
That'd be funny.
That would be
and Geiger. So we bring it up and then we just walk away.
Yeah. We'll just be like, you guys watch a Lord of the Rings movie, and then we'll be like, peace, guys.
And we do a 24-hour live stream of it.
Yeah.
Well, and so, that covers the first movie.
Yeah. And Claire would be like, okay, so when
Lord of the Rings!
Hey! Lord of the Rings happened. Hey, all right.
So, a couple things. So, there's a couple, like, cool names in here. The Peter? Four main, Aslan. The four main characters do not do anything else, basically, beyond this.
Yeah.
However, Diggory Kirk, the professor, is Jim Broadbent, who is Slughorn.
Yeah.
And then Rupert Everett, who is Prince Charming, and Shrek is the fox. And so Santa is James Cosmo. He plays J.R. Mormont in Game of Thrones.
Cosmo, that gives
that's
me
the
an
fairy
idea.
From Fairly Odd Parents.
The Winx Club. But
Ray Winstone, Mr. Beaver, is Beowulf.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Marsden, who is Maugrim, dope ass name by the way, is Bud. From Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was weird when he started talking about Superman.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's cool.
And then, Narbrick.
He didn't talk about Superman.
What is his name? No, Narbrick?
Narnia.
What's his name?
David Dobrik.
It wasn't that character.
Narbrick.
Good Gnar.
Who is played by Kieran Shaw.
Was that an Oompa Loompa?
No.
No, it was.
George
Go
Clayton,
back.
George Clayton was. But Kieran Shaw is the guy who does.
That's his headshot. His headshot is him as a Noompa Loompa.
That's George. Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking about him. Kieran Shaw. Voight is Tito in that movie.
That's not
Force Awakens.
Me.
Tito is the guy at the beginning when Rey meets BB-8. And he like captured him, actually, and she's like, "Talama Parqual,
Talama Parqual,"
and he's on like the big thing.
Yeah.
That's
Tito. Oh, is that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the salesman guy.
Talama Parqual.
The merchant guy.
No.
Okay, I'm
the merchant guy really from boring. Force Awakens was the best Simon character Pegg. In Force Awakens.
You
Simon Pegg.
That was Simon Pegg.
Mm-hmm.
What?
No,
I need to go
merchant
back and watch
guy,
that scene.
Force Awakens.
Yep.
Simon really?
Pegg. Unkar Plutt. Simon Pegg? Alright.
Wow. He put on some weight.
Yeah. Well, he did, actually. All
and
right.
He goes, 3/4 portions.
1/4
is that,
portion.
Is that a suit,
that.
Or is that...
A suit,
it's
yeah.
prosthetics. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Which,
no, he just
in The Witcher, the boar guy, I forget what his name is.
In season
boar
2.
Boar guy... Witcher Boar Guy Witcher 2.
He
Nivellen.
Does look really cool, yeah.
Nivellen. That's a suit as well.
Yeah, I was
that's
actually
a fully
kind of impressed.
Built out suit. And they,
I was
they
impressed
do
with the
mocap,
creature work, and that's.
They do mocap on his face. But it's Christopher Hivju. I don't know how to say his last name.
That's racist.
But he is also. He played. He's a Norwegian actor. And he was in. A couple things. Most notably, he was in Game of Thrones. And he was also in The Last Kingdom as
Peter Dinklage is in this movie.
As who?
No, he's not. He's in the second one.
He's in the second one?
Yeah, I didn't think he was in this one.
No, he's not.
What?
Yeah, I'm 100% sure.
Oh, yeah, you could be right.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Sorry.
Let's rate this. Yeah, I'm just tired.
Yeah, me too.
You know, this is the first time we record during the day. In like well over like 6 months.
Yeah,
that's crazy. All right, rate this movie out of 10.
I'm gonna give this an 8.
8 out of 10.
I would not give any of the other movies that I have a score,
mm-hmm.
but this movie I will give an 8.
I'll give it a 7.
Mm-hmm. I'd probably say 6.5. Yeah, 6.5.
Dang, bro.
Yeah, it's just like okay, the lighting's really flat. That's my biggest pet peeve.
Trumpkin. That's true. I'll give you that.
Who's no. Trumpkin. Funny. All right, are we ready for raps?
Wait, hold on.
No,
Trumpkin.
This is going to be freestyle. I have no
Chronicles.
Idea what to say.
I'll let you think.
Think of something that rhymes with
Yeah, no. It's the second one. It's the second one because he's the first person they run into.
Yes. Okay.
See?
That's Peter Dinklage?
Yeah. And she tries to stab him, but he's like, I'm Peter Dinklage, don't kill me.
That's
straight up Peter Dinklage.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, because he played him, which is...
No way.
No way. Home.
That's crazy.
Fuck you guys.
Alright, you guys ready? Hold up. That didn't make a sound like
here.
That. Hello?
Ow, that hurts. Oh, I got shit. Alright.
Is this the beat?
Bro, listen to my shit. What are you doing?
This is more distracting than helping. It's doing nothing but peeking. Can I get a different beat?
All right, fine. Bum, 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 bum.
All right.
Bum, 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 bum.
All right, hold on, keep going.
Bum, 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 bum.
One more.
Bum, 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 bum.
Lion, witch, and the wardrobe. I'ma drive a ditch. I'ma drive in a ditch and find a wardrobe, cause I need new clothes. I go to Goodwill and I give them a bill. It is a 5 and I owe 10. I lied. I have $20. Here you go, ma'am. And can I holler at your daughter, cause she's kinda cute? I have an angle that I'm playing with you. It is acute. No, it's not obtuse. I'm breaking 180. He is peeking and that's kinda shady. I am very slim and I have a baby, cause I am pregnant. Now I need to go to my dad and tell him I am sad and I need to shit.
Stop! Force choke. Yeah, stop. Bitch. Stout and nope. Because I know what you like.
Yeah.
From experience. You. It yes, means. You! Yes! Jesus
yeah, but
Christ.
Me and you?
Yes. That was
so
the...
you choke me.
Yes.
And that's how you know.
Yeah.
Okay, stab and sour crowd.
Stab and sour crowd.
We're not supposed to talk about that guy.
Well, look, here's the thing.
Wait, what just happened?
We had sex, Chris.
Who?
Not! Stop!